What's up, guys? Welcome into Stacking Dubs. I am not going to lie, that was a rough one. Warriors empty the clip. Jimmy Butler empties the clip. You can see him, you know, just from his aggressiveness and, you know, two-way play. End up taking, what, 26 shots. You got everything you could possibly ask for out of Jimmy Butler. Problem is that he's not 25 years old anymore. You know, he's 30. What is he? 34, 35. And, you know, the Warriors were the better team, I thought, at least even when Jimmy Butler was essentially just exploding every single matchup, whether it was attacking a big, it was getting right by Conley. If he had a McDaniels or Anthony Edwards on him, just use a high screen and you're to the hoop. And, you know, it seemed to be the perfect recipe for an efficient offense that didn't even hit a three in the first half. But, you know, Jimmy Butler is basically getting into the paint every single possession. And when that's the case, hey, you're going to have a very efficient scoring night. And despite not hitting any shots, despite not getting much role help other than from John the Kuminga, that's a recipe for success. But how sustainable is that? We learned that it's sustainable for about three and maybe like a third of a quarter, three and a half quarters. And Jimmy was clearly tired at the end. And once the Jimmy penetration kind of stopped and he wasn't finishing at the hoop a few times, several times, despite, again, just a career game from John the Kuminga. My gosh, man, he was just phenomenal. John the Kuminga was, you know, honestly, maybe his best game all around ever. Definitely in the playoffs with 30 points. He was team high plus five. Did everything. Defense, very good. Had six rebounds, three assists, had two blocks, only two turnovers, only two fouls, three of four from three. I mean, I can't say enough about John the Kuminga. And, you know, if there's any consolation, it's, hey, you know, you've figured out your third scorer at the very least right now. And he's not jeopardizing you on the back end in terms of your defense. And I guess, hey, Steve Kerr, like, you know, I've always been your biggest supporter, but we're learning that you can survive without spacing, you know, out of necessity. We've learned that, but hey, you can survive with Jimmy Butler and John the Kuminga on the floor at the same time. You just kind of have to have a little longer leash and let Kuminga kind of get to this point. And it turns out you don't need spacing if you're able just to get into the paint every possession and either get to the line or just, you know, settle into 5-6 footers. And, you know, Kuminga, Jimmy Butler combined for 63 of the Warriors' 97 points. And while that's great, it just hurts so much knowing that, again, we emptied the clip. You had a career best game from Kuminga and you still came up a little bit short. And if I have to point to one thing, you know, I hate to blame the refs, and I rarely do. And they weren't even that bad in this, but the bad calls, in my opinion, or at least the borderline calls, which all seem to end up falling into Minnesota's favor, was all the Draymond Green plays. Three of the challenges, instant replays, end up going against Draymond Green. Well, one, I guess, could have been replayed that Kerr ended up not reviewing or challenging when he gets kind of caught up with Rudy Gobert. I mean, no foul there. If anything, I mean, it's hard to overturn it, but if you're looking at it in live speed, like, I would call that on Gobert. But you're not going to overturn the fact that they called it on Draymond Green because he kind of initiates it. Then there is the other challenge where Draymond is, I mean, it's a soft foul, but you replay it. And honestly, it's such minimal contact. And he's, I don't know. I mean, I guess I was surprised that they didn't overturn that one. And then obviously on the one where, who is it, Randall fouls, who was it? Kuminga, it might have been Kuminga, and then you get Draymond on just like the smallest, just a little grab of the jersey, and you know, it's not even on your radar that Draymond isn't even in the play there. You're hoping, hey, this, you know, Randall was moving and there's contact and Kuminga's going to the line. It didn't even cross my mind that Draymond Green was going to get an offensive foul there, his fifth, And then he fouls out on that minimal contact. So, oh man, I mean, that's where the game really changed, because it's anytime Draymond was off the court, Timberwolves seemingly were able to just kind of attack. Anthony Edwards is able to get going. And you know, once he starts getting confident, attacking the hoop, there's no Draymond Green on the backside there. And you know, without Draymond Green, the rim protection is minor. And you know, they did a fantastic job on Anthony Edwards, like they've done in the first half of each of these games. It just seems like the defense gets a little fatigued, gets a little worn. It's kind of like a defensive line when, you know, they're being stalwarts for the first two and a half, 3 quarters of a game, but you know, the offense just kind of keeps handing it to their, call it their Derrick Henry or just their bruising tailback for 20, 25 carries. And then that defense starts to fatigue, starts to soften just a bit. And all of a sudden, now Anthony Edwards is getting downhill. He's getting to the hoop. And even when he's missing or anyone else is missing, they're getting to the line. And it felt like the defense just, again, it just kind of fatigued out. It was playing with force for so long. It seemed like we had the Wolves on their heels. And then again, it gets to the fourth quarter where you're up 4 points heading into the fourth. You know that your Jimmy Butler, your horse is sucking it up and going to give you everything you can, and you just can't quite get it done in that fourth quarter defensively. Wolves score 33 points in the fourth, and end up winning by five. And oh, it's just frustrating because there were so many points that were just left on the board. A lot of missed, just kind of inside 3 feet. A lot of unforced turnovers, especially in that first half. They only finished with 14, and you know, the second half was much better, but that first half there was just maybe six or seven just terribly unforced turnovers, which led to the Wolves scoring, I think, what was it, like 17 points off turnovers. And you know, that was kind of the difference. And then obviously the Warriors, while they didn't need to shoot threes, you know, it's hard to win games if you're not making any threes. And they went into the half up by two, come out and actually make 10 second half threes. And ironically, that then they lose the second half despite shooting well from three. And it's frustrating. This is one of the toughest losses. I mean, this is the toughest loss today, just knowing that you're going to get a fatigue Jimmy Butler in game four. I mean, he played 43 really hard minutes, and you saw how tired he was at the end. I have a hard time believing that he's going to be fresher next game. The Warriors, you know, Steve Kerr, Jimmy Butler said, hey, you know, we know we're going for it this game. This is the one that we have to get the home crowd. Again, career game by Jonathan Kuminga. And you just can't quite get enough support from everyone else, offensively especially, in this to get you over the hump. And again, honestly, I thought the Warriors were the better team for, you know, the majority of this game. And it's just the inability of the role players to create offense, right? Draymond Green, 2 points. Buddy Hield, you know, he got going. Like, he actually made four threes in that second half, and you got 14 points from Buddy Hield and five assists. So it's like Buddy Hield wasn't the problem, and actually played really good defense. It's Pajemski going 1 for 10 and missing what, four or five shots within like 6 or 7 feet. And you appreciate him staying aggressive. You appreciate, you know, his eight rebounds, and you know, he's playing hard, and Pajemski does everything well. And if it was one thing I point out at Pajemski, it's just inconsistent scoring when he is hitting his outside shot and finishing at the hoop and just confident. And you know, we saw it, you know, heading in towards that playoff run where Pajemski was maybe our second best player for a spurt of a couple of weeks. The Warriors are really hard to beat, and it's just, I don't know what it is. It's just like a sliver less confidence. It's just the touch just isn't quite there. For whatever reason, the shots aren't falling. And you know, he had several rim in and out and missed several open shots. And again, if you know, you go even 4 for 10 instead of 1 for 10, you know, that's another 6, 7, 8 points right there, and that's the difference in the game. It's, you know, Gary Payton, who isn't giving you anything on offense all of a sudden, and his shot looked just all broken today. You can just tell every time he just with a kind of catch and shoot, it was rushed. You know, he was kind of just catching it high and just trying to, it just didn't look like his normal shot. Where, the times he shoots well is when he's catching, has plenty of time. He looks down, checks his feet, and I feel like every time he's able to look down and shoot, he makes it. But in 26 minutes, you go 1 for 4 with 2 points, just essentially zero offensive impact. Where else can you turn? I mean, Looney plays 18 minutes, but he's not a scorer. I mean, you're fortunate to have gotten 4 points from Loon. Moses Moody plays 3 minutes and is just utterly useless and just unplayable the rest of the series. And there's just not enough points to be found, despite how fantastic I thought the Warriors defense played for, again, three and a half quarters. You can't expect them. It's like the Niners defense, right? That defensive line, when it was at its best, in the heyday in the last couple years or a couple years ago, you're getting after the quarterback, you're thwarting the run, you're just getting pressure every play. And then the fourth quarter hits, and all of a sudden, you're not able to get that pressure on Patrick Mahomes or, insert mobile quarterback. And it's hard. It's very hard to play tenacious defense, to play defense with force and get after it for 48 minutes. The fact that they were able to do it for 36 to 40 minutes was impressive. And it's just, again, it's the offense is the problem. And man, I miss Steph Curry. It's tough. I mean, Warriors scored 97 points on offense, so I guess I don't have too much to complain about, considering that Steph Curry wasn't there and Jimmy Butler again did a great job getting the Warriors into good shots and more or less good possessions, the ones that they didn't throw away with bad turnovers. But again, it's just they seemed to run out of gas at the end. They showed their age. Minnesota showed their youth, and they were the better team down the stretch in this. And it was just really tough again to see because this was the game that the Warriors had to get. Game four is going to be t really, really tough. I mean, you're going to get, a desperate Warriors team who essentially it's a must win, knowing that, hey, you lose, you're down 3-1 going back to Minnesota. And I mean, what Shams Charania said, I can't say his last name. Anyways, what he said is it's looking like game six at the earliest for Steph. So I think you have to go get this next game. And if you don't, then you have to go get one in Minnesota, which is even harder. So, I mean, that's best case scenario. And then you're chasing two games with Steph. That all being said, man, guys, I do have to say, like, the Warriors, they're playing tough and they're playing well. And these teams are pretty evenly matched. And it really does feel like the difference is Steph Curry. For the most part, I mean, we've seen how many quarters without Steph now, like 10 and a half quarters. And I know Minnesota was the better team last game. But honestly, for those 10 and a half quarters, I would say the Warriors were as good, if not better, for five or six of those quarters. And you just have to think, obviously, if you have Steph Curry, the offense is just a completely different look. And the defense was there. And I think that, honestly, from what I've seen, I know the Wolves' offense is a little bit better than Houston's was, but I thought the Warriors had more trouble with Houston, and that comes more from just Houston's defense and physicality. I thought Houston was better than Minnesota, outside of Anthony Edwards' outburst, which we had under wraps for the most part. And you're gonna have to find ways in that second half to either blitz Anthony Edwards. You got to do something different in the second half to slow Anthony Edwards down because his shot was broken for a while. He was missing a bunch of free throws, couldn't hit anything from the outside. And then he starts getting to the hoop and, sore ankle and all. It just seemed like he was pretty unstoppable. And then all of a sudden the shot starts falling. And now what are you going to do? And then you throw in the fact that Julius Randle was, he was. You know, he had a triple double. He was great in this one. Offensively, I thought he was inefficient, especially when Draymond could have done a better job. Draymond, honestly, I think Julius Randle going against Draymond Green, he's going to be up 35, 40% field goal percentage. And I love that matchup. I love any matchup where Draymond Green's the defender in an isolation situation. Problem was Draymond Green got in foul trouble. He made a couple gambles and lost position and on Randle. And Randle's good enough to make you pay when you're losing position. And Randle had a lot of second chance points. And yeah, I mean, I have to tip my hat. He played well. But that being said, I guess my point is that when the Warriors offense was set, when the Warrior, or sorry, defense was set, and Draymond Green was in the game, I thought that the Warriors were the team, the better team in the half court, and really making things tough on Randle, making things tough on Edwards, and the Wolves. I mean, outside of Naz Reid getting loose for a bunch of threes kind of early in the game, Wolves didn't really have much consistent offense. So, where do we go from here? You know, what adjustments do we make? Obviously, you know, Jonathan Kuminga is going to continue playing full minutes. I mean, I think you just throw him in the starting lineup. I would like to see you, I mean, just from a fatigue standpoint, knowing that, hey, you're going to keep running out of juice, you're going to have to play more players. Steve Kerr, you know, it really turned into a what, like a 6-player rotation, 7-player rotation. It was Draymond, it was Jimmy, it was Buddy, it was Pajemski and Kuminga, and then you got some Looney and Payton from there. I don't know. I mean, I know you went for it in this one, but seeing how many minutes they played and knowing that you're going to be very fatigued in the next game, you're going to have to open up some more minutes, especially out of your bigs. And TJD started. He was okay. He had 4 points in that first shift. He was 3 or 4 from the field. He played only 11 minutes. I think you're going to have to trust him a little bit more. I know you trust Looney way more, and I'm fine with Looney there, but I thought TJD, considering, you know, game two, and you know, he was pretty solid in this. I didn't think you needed to get away from him as much as Steve Kerr did. I would have liked to go back to him a little bit. I mean, gives you a little bit of more rim protection. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, in a vacuum, I'd rather Looney, you know, play more minutes than TJD. But that being said, I could use a little bit more kind of that double big lineup with TJD and Draymond, or a TJD and Looney, even if you need to. But yeah, you're gonna have to. I mean, the problem is, you want to find some more minutes from your wing spots, but you're just not getting any production. Moody's unplayable. Gi Santos, you could try Gi Santos again, but it's been kind of rough. He hasn't been hitting his shots, but at least it gives you some energy and can buy some, you know, solid quality minutes. I think you'll see some Gi Santos next game. I don't know, Quinton Post, it's hard to really say, hey, he needs to play more. I mean, you might see some Kevin Knox minutes. I'm not opposed to some Kevin Knox, or if the offense is sputtering. I know Pat Spencer struggled last game, but you gotta find something else to eat 10 minutes. You know, you can't have Jimmy Butler being your only playmaker for literally 40 minutes of this game. You have to find another engine, because you just saw what happened. The engine just can only take you so far at 35 years old. So whether you play Pat Spencer, Gi Santos, you just gotta find some sort of energy and create turnovers, which Minnesota's proven that hey, they are prone to some turnovers. They can be sped up. And I thought the stretch late second quarter where the Warriors were basically pushing tempo, what was it? You know, whether it was Draymond Green or Jimmy or Kuminga, or you know, Pajemski does a good job of it. One of my favorite things about Pajemski is that he'll push tempo in kind of transition. That's when the Warriors were really, you know, getting after in that 13-1 run to end the second quarter. It's, hey, like, we're not efficient enough in the half court, and you know, we can work the ball around and, you know, try to get into the paint and get a good look, and take, you know, try to find the highest, most efficient look we can get. But you know what? That style of play works for a while, but it was when the Warriors were always kind of getting out after it, attacking the hoop, and just trying to go against a Minnesota defense that wasn't set. They found some success there, and credit to Minnesota for getting back in the second half. But I thought the Warriors should have pressed pace just a bit more, kind of come that early fourth quarter. Just get out, run, like, you know, let Kuminga just go to work. Even if you're just playing kind of like 3-on-3 or even 3-on-4, like, hey, like, you know, Gobert's not set back yet. Like, Naz Reid isn't back yet. He's in foul trouble. Let's just attack, because they've proven that despite being smaller, Warriors have been at their best when they're getting in the paint. And best way to do that is kind of getting out in transition and working through it. All right, it's tough to talk about game four. I'm not ready for it yet, but it's a must win, and I guess we're gonna have to leave it at that. Where, again, Steph Curry, assuming he's not back till game six, you have to win one of these next two games just to stay alive. So Steph has a chance to play and give you a chance to extend your season. And it's frustrating because you like the Thunder are down 2-1 and Boston's down 2-1 and the Cavs are down 2-1 and you feel like you're as good as this Minnesota team, and with Steph Curry healthy, you're better than this Minnesota team and probably up 2-1 at this point, if not better. And things are looking up, and hey, it's like, well, we can play against Denver in the next round, and that's you can say, hey, we want I think we match up okay with Denver, and then you're looking at like Indiana or the Knicks at this point. If you're just kind of looking at series scores, but it's just tough to be down your best player in the playoffs and knowing that your offense is struggling for shot creation. All right, it's time to go to bed, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Hang tough, guys, and let's just hope that the Warriors can come out and. Honestly, it's going to take some good 3-point shooting in the next game. You're going to have to get loose, and you're just going to have to find ways to shoot well and hope that your role players, one of them, can give you a hot performance. Because without it, I just don't see a way that the Warriors are going to get around Minnesota this next game or next two games and give ourselves a chance. All right. I'm hurting, guys. I'm hurting, but I still believe, and we'll bounce back. And let's get ready for Monday. All right. Until next time. Thank you guys so far. I'm nearing my goal on subscribers, so please hit like, subscribe. Let's keep it rolling. If you appreciate it, please share this. Until next time, I have been Chris Chin. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.